Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Amen. We thank the Lord that for opportunities, amen, to serve Him, to minister to His people. We appreciate Brother Carter and his brethren from Memphis Way in Louisiana, maybe. They didn't know we were having service this morning. And I think he was going to sneak up on me because he had called me and I thought he was in Memphis. But, you know, he poked his head in the door and I couldn't hear what he was saying. He, "Are y'all having service?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I was sat back here on the back, but I didn't know y'all was having service." But Brother Carter, God bless you. And brethren, I appreciate y'all. I'm glad y'all here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you're in the right place. Praise God. Amen. I appreciate Brother Carter. One of the joys of my life was ministering with Brother Carter. We were ministering in tents, and we was a tandem. Not a whole lot of preachers that, you know, you can preach one night and they preach the next, and we preach one, and we kind of got right in the same spirit. And man, we had a great time. I really, it's one of my fondest memories, Brother Carter. Hope to be able to do that again one of these days. We're going to try to pray about getting this tent up here in Crossville, maybe in September or October, I don't know. But anyway, we're glad you're all here this morning. This is the first day of our camp meeting. I told Brother Carter, I said, like a dummy, I started out in the morning instead of at night, and we'd have more people, of course, but I don't know, just something like the first service of a camp meeting, it seemed like there's got to be a foundation laid, and generally it's throughout that camp meeting. And but if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Book of Revelations, and I want to read a scripture or two here for you. Do you love the Lord? How many knows He's a good God? These scriptures here. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. We find right at the closing of the book of Revelations, which everybody's trying to figure out today, and everybody's got an idea about this and that and all, but what I've always wondered is what has come up to pass already. We don't really know what's been fulfilled in the scripture. And I told someone the other day, I believe most of Daniel's been fulfilled myself. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, it's okay to have an opinion sometimes. But and I've been wondering here lately, how many of us have been wrong? How many of us have been wrong before? I've been wrong before. I know as a preacher, I was at a camp meeting one time, and the preacher was from China. His name was Wong, W-O-N-G. And I heard Brother Wong preach. And after he got done preaching, I said, "Well, Brother Wong, you're wrong." Brother Wong was definitely wrong. But I don't like being wrong. I like to be right. But this scripture here, right at the close of the book of Revelations, Jesus is talking here. He said, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." In the book of Luke, chapter 21, you don't have to turn there. In verse 28, it says, "And when these things begin to come to pass," Jesus is saying, talking about the scenario of the end time, he said, "Then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I guess I just want to kind of talk to you from my heart this morning. Been preaching a little bit. My voice has been giving me some trouble. But it seems like every time Brother Carter get ready to say something, I'm kind of talking about getting folks saved. It's just like what you were talking about this morning in your testimony and singing. I think most of us over the course of the past many years have been emphasizing things that don't mean a hill of beans to nobody. A lot of times we get such a deep revelation or a deep understanding that probably we don't even understand that ourselves. We're trying to convey it to people that don't have a clue what we're talking about. It's either that way or we're so immersed in doctrines of the Bible that doctrine has become salvation. It's become our message. But I believe Jesus ought to be our message. If Jesus is not the message, then I think we're missing out on the whole end time scenario that Jesus talked about. Now let me just give you these scriptures before I get started here. In Matthew 24, and Matthew 24, and also in Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the end time The scenario right before he comes back to this earth, how many will agree with that? It's not just Matthew 24, but it goes right into Matthew 25, and he says, and then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. So he's continuing his message right into Matthew 25 about what's going to happen in the end time. Now, I believe we're living in the end time. But there's things that I found in Matthew 24 and 25 that, you know, we need to remember. Jesus said 5 different times that no man would know when he's coming back. 5 times, just in Matthew 24, right there at 25. Matthew 24 and 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Then in Matthew 24 and 37 and 38, and he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not, verse 29, 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming at a time when you're not looking for him. He's coming at a time when folks... You know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He warned the people. But it fell on deaf ears. We were talking just recently. I don't know who I was talking about. It seemed like you preach and you preach and you don't get the response anymore that you used to get when you preach salvation and Jesus and the coming judgment. It's like it goes in one ear and right out the other. It's like some folks want to get saved when they're in the church. As soon as they leave the church building, they want to get back out in the world and do what the world's doing. And, you know, that's not the way it ought to be. In Matthew 24, verses 40 through 44, he says this at 2 different times, he says here. Then shall 2 be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. 2 women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known in that what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Here's the 4th time. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, I don't know about you, but I have preached that. I've said this before. How many knows we all say some dumb things before? I've said, Jesus can't come back today. He can't come back tomorrow. Can't come back because too much of the scripture needs to be fulfilled. How many of you ever heard preachers say that? I've said it before myself. But according to this, I might not know what I'm talking about. The 5th time he says it in Matthew 25 and 13, he said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now truly we can know the seasons. We can know the time frame of the coming of the Lord. You know, just recently, Hollywood Entertainment have lost, 4 of their folks. You know, a couple of them around 50 years old. Death is not a respecter of persons. He comes to young and old alike. And if you don't believe me, go and get you a newspaper and look at the obituary, and you're going to find not just old people there, you're going to find some young people there. Not just 40s and 50s and 60s, but you're going to find some folk probably in their teens in that on that obituary. So I wanted to bring this to our attention this morning because I believe that the message ought to be, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? You know, it'd be a shame for churches, build churches and go out and sing songs and preach to folks and not never get nobody ready to meet the Lord. I believe John the Baptist, when he come on the scene, he said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make its path straight. There's got to be some voices in the last days to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. It's not just church, having church. Oh, church is all right, and I hope y'all don't get me wrong, but church is not what the Lord has called us to do. He not called us to have church. He called us to evangelize the world. More money is wasted on church buildings than they are anything. Today, with the move of the charismatics, you know, for the past many years and building multi-million-dollar buildings, wasted, I mean, millions, if not billions of dollars in huge auditoriums and stained glass windows. Some of these costed in the millions, multiplied millions of dollars, while men and women, souls, are going to hell. Few dollars are spent. Matter of fact, there's more money spent on dog food in America than there is in mission work. There's more money spent on, you know, getting your hair fixed. How many of those church folks will go and give more to the waitress at Shoney's than they do to God's house? There's something gone wrong in America, in the church in America. Children of God, we need to wake up. I'm telling you that Jesus has put it in my heart that we need to get a burden for souls again. The Lord, amen, I'm just down in Georgia, and I told the folks down there, I said, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to get back to where I was 37 years ago. 37 years ago, I had a burning desire for souls. Amen. Doctrine and the teachings of the Bible was not my main concern. And although doctrine is okay and it's right and we need to understand the doctrines of the Bible. But all the while, people, men and women and boys and girls are going to a devil's hell while a lot of folks are turning around playing church. Can you say amen? Some preachers today, they got more emphasis on money and materialism, prosperity and things and pleasures in the world and what God wants to give you in the world than they do souls. Let me tell you something. We need to turn some things around. The Bible is telling me, Jesus is telling me, in talking about the scenario of the end time. Remember these five things that he mentioned about no man would know the day or the hour when he's going to come back. These five different times. Looked like he had just told them one time. But remember, he was talking to his disciples. He's talking to the people around him. And he began to talk about the time of the end when all things is going to be dissolved. I mean, no, it's going to be dissolved. Jesus is going to come back. And he was talking about, well, this is what's going to happen. Why didn't he just tell the people one time that you're not going to know the day or the hour? Why is it he had to emphasize it five different times? Think about it. I talked to a minister years and years ago. I was getting ready to go to Malawi, Africa, South Africa. Or not South Africa, but some down in there, somewhere or another. But anyway, he had been there, and he told me, he said, Brother Hayes, I'm going to give you a clue what you got to do. And he said, we learned this from the dictator. It was a dictator over that country at that time. He said, every time that dictator got up to talk to those people, when he would tell them something, he would say it three times. In other words, he wouldn't say it twice. He wouldn't say it just one time. He would always repeat himself three times. And he said, we understood why he said to himself three times when he talk about things. He said it three times because he wanted to make sure that they understood what he was talking about. As I read the scripture here and I find out Jesus said five times, amen, that we were not going to know the day nor the hour, I wonder why did he emphasize it five different times. And I think I've got the answer. The answer is this. The answer is that the fact about it, if we are anticipating the coming of the Lord every day, if we are anticipating that Jesus Christ is about to split those eastern skies at any time or any moment, I believe it'll help us to live a little bit closer to the Lord, and it will help us, amen, to get out here and do what the Lord has called us all to do. And what he has called us to do is not sit at home and watching Who Loves I Love Lucy or Gunsmoke or something on television every night. He's not called us, amen, to ride around in our automobiles and having the radio turned up so loud you about makes everybody deaf. He's not called us, amen, to just enjoy the things of the world. Too many people today think that they're looking for self-gratification. They're looking for their flesh to be appeased. They're looking for, amen, the pleasures of this world. They want everything that the world has got, but who is desiring, amen, a crucified life with Christ, amen? How many are desiring, amen, to die out to the Lord, hallelujah, die out to the world and seek the Lord with all of your heart. Today we've got to turn some things around if we're going to see a move of God. Today, amen, a lot of churches come, and I appreciate, amen, what everybody has said about a move of God. But a move of God to me is when the altars is filled with men and women and boys and girls that's seeking, hallelujah, amen, salvation. A move of God is just not coming into the church house and feeling good about yourself and leaving and going down and having a dinner somewhere and coming back and enjoy the presence presence of God yourself without ever having anybody, amen, being invited, hallelujah, to experience what you have experienced. We need to return back to our first love. We need to get back, amen, to where we was at when we first got saved. If you ever got saved, the first thing that you wanted to do was tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. If you ever really had an experience with God, the first thing you wanted to do was get others to have the same experience with God that you had. If you ever really got saved, the first thing you'd want to do is begin to pray and to fast and to seek God. If you ever really got saved, the first thing you'd want to do was find your Bible and purchase that Bible, amen, and read it day and night and pray that God would give you understanding. If you ever really got saved, you would have a burning desire in your heart not only to see your relatives saved and your kinfolks and those, amen, amen, outlaws I call them, to be saved, but you would want the neighbors saved. You'd want your boss saved. You'd want your enemy saved. Amen. If you ever really got saved, the love of God would have come into your heart and it would have changed you. And you wouldn't be a man or a woman walking around with hatred in your heart, but it would be the love of God. If you ever really got saved, prejudice would have left your heart. Amen. And you could hug a black man or an Indian or a white man, and you could give them a hug and tell them you love them. Amen. And it would really come from a heart that God had changed. Let me tell you something. I have seen God move by His power, and I have seen God change, amen, men and women, backers and all kinds of people, amen, that was caught up in all kind of damnable teachings. I've seen God save people there in the KKK, amen, and they would love people once again. If you ever really got saved, you would want to do what God has called you to do. Can you say amen? We're living in a time when people need to be warned that hell is real and it is hot and it is eternal, but there is a heaven to gain. Can you say amen? Amen. We need to understand that we need to begin to teach people again the fundamentals, amen, of what living for God is all about. Amen. The other night when I was traveling back, I was trying to find me a preacher, you know, or trying to find me a good gospel song on the radio like we do. Amen. And I was beginning to search. Well, that wasn't no count. That wasn't no count. And then I found one. Amen. And this man was preaching, amen, the love of God. Amen. He was preaching about the cross. He was preaching, amen. Amen. That souls need to be saved. Amen. He began to tell the people, hallelujah. Amen. And I think one time he said, will the circle be unbroken? Hallelujah. And he began to emphasize, amen, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, and how Jesus went to the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. And the more he preached, the more excited I got. Hallelujah. Amen. It wasn't about baptism. It wasn't about judgment. It wasn't about the Antichrist. It wasn't about the mark of the beast. It wasn't about the seven thunders. It wasn't about none of that kind of stuff. It was all about Jesus. It was all about why Jesus came to planet Earth. And you know who that preacher was? He was bawling. He was crawling all through his message. It was Jimmy Swaggart. Praise God. Oh, Jimmy, my Lord. Oh, Jimmy was laying it down. Praise God. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for Jimmy Swaggart, that somebody, hallelujah, is bringing a message back to this world of salvation and deliverance, and that Jesus is not going to die in vain, that he come to this earth, hallelujah, to save men and women, to save souls, hallelujah. Praise God. We need to get back to the message. That message he preached, Brother Carter, was the same message we preached years ago. Amen. We need to get back to the word. We need to get back to the truth. My God, what difference does it matter? Amen. If you go out here and convince somebody you're right about the end time, or you convince somebody you're right about, amen, who the seven thunders are. I don't care who the seven thunders are. I don't know anything about the seven thunders. Only God can reveal about the seven thunders. But I do know this one thing. I know Jesus Christ. Praise God. And I know why he came to this earth. He come to save me. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't deserve salvation. He come to set me free when I didn't deserve to set free. He came. Hallelujah. Although I was made poor. Amen. He come to make me rich. Not in the things of this world, but the rich in faith and rich in love and rich in compassion. My God, if we could get the same compassion that Jesus had, what could we do for God? What could we do for God? While we're trying to figure everything out, People are going to hell. Our loved ones are going to hell. We got children on the way to hell. Grandchildren on the way to hell. People that we love on the way to hell. Praise God. Will that circle be unbroken? Let me tell you something, folks. My God, you need to start, amen, in your own house. With your own folks, amen. And you begin, amen, to get away from this pity-patty kind of stuff. And well, why don't you come to church sometime? Amen. The Bible said to compel them to come into the house of God. Amen. That means to make them. Amen. They don't be praying, praise God. Amen. And letting them kind of understand some kind of social gospel. Let them know that there's a gospel, hallelujah, amen, that was come by Jesus Christ, preached by the apostles. Amen. And that gospel means, yes, it's good news. God will save your soul. But there's some conditions in the gospel. And the conditions is, he will save you by his grace. The grace of God, the Bible says, has appeared unto all men. But it's going to teach you something. It's going to teach you to deny ungodliness and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. That'll clean us up. But first of all, amen, you cannot tell somebody, amen, you got to do this, 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 and this. We don't got no rules and regulations. The word of God is sufficient. The standards of the Bible is sufficient. We don't need a will on the wall. Amen, the Ten Commandments everywhere. I'm telling you that word, praise God. You get that word in you. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You'll know how to live for God. And you'll desire to live for God. It won't be hard to live for the Lord. It'll be easy to live for the Lord. But first you got to get Jesus abiding in yourself. Abiding in your soul, and then you can serve the Lord. Too many times we make excuses for our relatives, particularly those very close to us. Well, God will save them one day. Well, they didn't really want to come, so we'll ask somebody to come to church one time. Oh, they didn't want to come. Let me tell you something, folks. You need to let them pick children, man. Understand, praise God, if they don't get born to the water and the spirit, they're going to bust hell wide open. Amen. That they're not going to make it on mama's coattail or daddy's coattail. Amen. But if they don't get right with God, come on, somebody say amen. You know it's the truth. Amen. They're not going to be saved because I'm saved. They got to get saved themselves. Amen. They're not going to get born again of the spirit just because I'm born of the spirit. They got to have an experience with God. Amen. I remember years ago, amen, I called my children into a room. Amen. And I had them all sit around me. And I said, I got something to tell you. They was about 11, 12, 13 years old, maybe even 10. I don't remember. Amen. But I gathered them in my room. And I told them this. I said, I want to tell each one of you. Amen. And I want you to know what I'm telling you. Amen. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I don't know what the age of accountability is. I don't know if it's 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, or whatever. All I know is this. Every one of you, amen, knows right and wrong. I've taught you, amen, what's right. And I've taught you what's wrong. I've taught you what sin is, and I've taught you what the penalty for sin is. It's death. And I'm telling you, amen, amen, tonight or today, I think I talked to him in the daytime. I said, amen, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to repent of your sins. You need to turn from your wickedness. You need to be filled with God's Spirit, or you're going to go to hell. You're not going to make it on my coattails, or make it because, amen, amen, I'm your daddy. Amen, because the only way you're going to make it is if you're born again of yourself. You got to have an experience with God. Amen. And when I got done talking with them, next thing I know, tears are running down their eyes. Man, they went in about four or five different directions, just bawling and squalling. Why? Because they did not realize that they were going to go to hell. They were good kids. They were not bad kids. I mean, those good people is going to go to hell. People that live moral lives, they're going to go to hell. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father except by him. Except you come through the door, you're going to be lost. There's good folks today say, oh, I do good. I did this, I did that. I don't bother nobody. I ain't never murdered nobody. I mind my own business. I leave everybody alone. Surely the good Lord understands. Yeah, the good Lord understands. He understands this. You're going to hell. Can you say amen? See, the enemy, amen, he's has sown a false gospel. so strongly in this generation that people actually believe, amen, that they don't even have to be born again. They don't really got to repent of their sins. They don't got to get baptized. Amen. They don't have to really serve the Lord. They can sin a little bit every day and still make it into the kingdom of God. Amen. They have been so much deception sown in our generation. Amen. There's a lot of good people sitting in churches, never been converted, never been born again, never really had an experience with Jesus. Can you say amen? Sitting in church, wouldn't it be an awful thing if you sit in a church house, paid your tithes, paid your offerings, amen, sent people on mission trips, amen, attended church every Sunday morning, amen, for 20 years, and then still wind up in hell? Wouldn't it be a shame? Amen. Why would you wind up in hell? Because you didn't have the experience with Jesus that you know you needed to have, or the preacher never preached Jesus to you. Let me tell you, Jesus, hallelujah, he wants to come into your life. He wants to be the Lord of your life. When somebody is Lord of your life, and you know you get permission, but the Lord, before you do something, you pray before you do something. You ask God if it's right or wrong. You don't go out on your own and say, bless God, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. When you do that, you become the Lord of your own life. I don't know about you, but I need a Lord over my life because I ain't got sense enough, amen, amen, to know what to do. I need just Jesus of the Bible, amen, to live it for me. Five times he let the church know. Could it have been possible? Could it have been possible that Jesus saw the confusion of the last day church? Could it be possible that Jesus foresaw down through the generation of time, amen, 2,000 years later, when the church would be in so much confusion, so much division, that its emphasis were no longer on Christ, but it was on doctrines and pet peeves and materialism and prosperity and money and all other junk that's going on in church today? Yes, I believe so. And I believe he sinned five times. You mean that Jesus does not know, you do not know when Jesus returned to this earth. Could he come tomorrow? I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. Amen. What did he say at the last 22 verse, chapter 22, verse 20 of Revelation? At the closing, amen, actually give the revelation. He said, behold, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. Come on, let's wake up. I don't know about you. When I first got saved, I was ready for the coming of the Lord. I didn't know nothing about no doctrine. I didn't know nothing about no teaching. I didn't know nothing about no tribulation, mark of the beast, antichrist. I didn't know nothing about diddly squat. All I know was Jesus, and I loved the Lord, and he loved me, and he saved my soul. And you know what I was looking for? I was looking for Jesus. I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen. When I got saved, I was looking for Jesus. I wasn't looking for the antichrist. I wasn't looking for the mark of the beast. I wasn't looking for tribulations. I wasn't looking for some mysterious rapture that I can't figure out, I don't even understand. I'm just looking for Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't have no doctrine, but I had Jesus, praise God. And Brother Carter, when I woke up in the morning, I want you to know I felt Jesus. Hallelujah. I might have been dumb as a rock, according to, amen, to revelations and doctrines, but there's one thing I do know. I love Jesus, and he loved me, and we had a relationship with one another, and I could pray, and he would answer, and I could lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. I could speak the word, my God, and watch it come to pass. I might have been dumb as a rock, but Jesus, hallelujah, was operating through me to a degree that I've not seen in 30 something years. Knowledge puffeth up. Come on. Knowledge puffeth up. Charity edifies. My Lord and my God. Could we have got so smart? Come on. Could we have got so smart that we got so smart we moved away from God, and God, we know more about it than you do? Amen. Have we got so smart? Come on, listen to me. Are you ready to meet God? That needs to be the message of the church. And also in the 20th chapter of Revelation, somewhere in there, it talks about the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst, amen, come and taste of the water of life freely. Can you say amen? Let him that tasteth say, come. Come on. What was it all about? What was Jesus' message all about? He come to save mankind. He come to save the vilest of sinners. He come to save the murderers. He come to save the thieves. He come to save the backslider. He come to save the homosexual. He come to save lost mankind. He come to save save those, amen, that were trapped in religion. He come to save those even that thought they were saved. He come to redeem us back to God. That needs to be our message, praise God. If that is our message, you won't have to worry about people coming into the house of God. Our message is not about the church. It's not about getting the crowd. It's not about getting members. Too many churches are pounding on doors. Want somebody to join the church. There's no message about the cross. There's no message about being born again. There's no message about the coming judgment of hellfire that's going to come upon this earth. There's no real conviction anymore, because there's no real preachers hardly left anymore.
Come on.
It's the truth.
Amen.
I've sat through some of those. Sister Glenn and I, we sat some of those boarding. I don't know what they even call them. Where they get everybody together and they're going to teach you how to win souls. And they're going to teach you how to build churches. And they're going to teach you. The whole emphasis is on numbers. The whole emphasis, Brother Carter, is how many people you can get in your church. The whole emphasis is about money. Seldom do you hear why Jesus even come. Now, what do you got if you got a church full of folk, a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of people going to drive you insane with all their problems and troubles? Let me say this. If you get really born again, you'll be able to deal with your problem. You'll be able to deal with your situation because God is going to empower you. Amen. How many knows what I'm saying about? We don't need a degree. Come on, we don't need a degree, amen, that a piece of paper hangs on the wall, amen, that we can have people come in and then we can counsel them, amen. Or we can set them, might as well just be a psychologist. Or God didn't call us to be psychologists. God didn't call us to sit down and try to figure out what's wrong with people. If there's something wrong with you, I'll tell you what it is. It's sin in your life. You need to be born again. You need a change in your life.
Come on,
amen, those, amen. You might be born of the Spirit. You might be on fire for God. That's when you got the devil stirred up. Everything ain't going to be rosy. Problems going to come, but God's going to give you power. Amen. Over that situation, over that what you're going through. And you're going to come through. Just recently, God showed Sister Deanna, I'm going to show you I can answer by fire. I can answer your prayer. Well, you know what it did for her? It built her up. And she even testified, my Lord, it made me feel so important that the God of heaven, the God of the universe, would hear her prayer and answer that prayer. That's what I'm talking about. Men and women, if you're, amen, if you'd fall in love with Jesus, when you call upon Him, by God, He's going to answer you. He's going to move for you. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Five times He reminded them. What was He saying five times? He said, you ain't going to know when I'm going to come back. Ain't no man, ain't none of y'all going to know the day. You ain't going to know the hour. I ain't going to tell you. Even the angels don't even know. No man is going to know. Why? Because He wants you to be ready. What if Jesus had said, nobody's going to know that day and an hour, but I'm going to give you the year. It's in the year 2022, I'm coming back. What if you knew in the year 2022, Jesus is coming back? How would that impact your life? How would that affect you? I'll tell you how it affects you. It wouldn't do anything for you spiritually. You say, oh, whew, I can slide for a while now. I was going down the road here not too long ago. The Lord spoke this to me. He said, what if I told you it's going to be 500 years before Jesus come back to this earth? How would that change your life? How would that change your ministry? How would that affect you? I thought, Lord, have mercy. This has got to be the devil talking to me. I mean, I've been preaching end time for too many years. Here the devil done talking to me. But you know what? As I drove along, boy, it just kept coming back. How would it change your ministry? How would it change you? If I told you, the Spirit of God said, Jesus is not coming back for another 500 years, how would it change you? You know, brother, I really thought about that. I really thought about that, and I would have hoped it wouldn't change me a bit. Because, see, I'm going to give an account of what I do in this life. I'm not going to be in this body alive 500 years from now. The day is the appointed time. Now is the hour. The day is the day of salvation. You may not live till tomorrow. There's not a person in this room who's got any hope for tomorrow. I said, there's not a person in this room got hope for tomorrow. You might die in your sleep tonight. You might leave this room, you know, and go out in your automobile, get down there to the road, turn to the right, and somebody hits you head on, dead as a doornail before you even turned around. You don't have no promise of tomorrow. Your life is just but a vapor, just a here for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Jesus wants us to understand we need to be ready to meet God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 356 days a year. We need to be ready to meet God at all times. We need to be ready to meet God when we go to bed. When we get up, we need to be ready to meet God. And we need to tell our children this. We need to tell our neighbors that. We need to tell people we come in contact with. Are you ready to meet God? Instead of inviting somebody to church, why don't you say, looking right in the eyes, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready for judgment? Listen to me. What if the church, what if this group of folks that's in this building, what if all of us got that same message and got that fire? What could you do for God? Your message was sharper than a two-edged sword. If you really were real, and not just to playing games with folks. So to ask them, are they saved? Ask them if they're ready to meet God. Come on. See if the church itself, if the body of Christ. Preacher can't do it all his own. He needs the body of Christ. We need to, Brother Carl, we need to motivate people. Motivate preachers and motivate church folk. To let them understand. Let's get away from all this stuff. My Lord, I want you to know something. Brother Carl will tell you, Brother David too. They've been in this thing. And a matter of fact, I know you too, brother. You've been in this thing a long time. Years ago, I thought this whole thing, I thought going to be a worldwide famine. And I thought everything was going to end. Everybody's going out here canning up pinto beans and fried, you know what I'm saying? I thought it was all going to be over. 1977 rolled around. And 1978 came, I thought, well, my God, what happened? Don't look at me funny. Why? Because I listened to stuff, listened about doctrine, listened about revelation about what's coming. But we need to be ready for Jesus. I'm not throwing stones at nobody. I'm not trying to rock nobody's spiritual understanding. I'm just saying, look, no matter what understanding you have in the Scripture, is it edifying to the body of Christ? Is it bringing people to the cross? Is your message impacting men and women's lives? Are you seeing people changed? Are you seeing people come to the altar? Are you seeing people, hallelujah, being changed, hallelujah, from what they were, amen, into new men and women of God, born of the Spirit? What is our message doing? Is it really impacting people's lives? That's what I'm saying. We need some messages come from the throne that will bring people back to the altars, brother. We need a message, praise God. We're under the anointing of the Holy Ghost that will bring conviction to the sinner. But conviction to the backslider. Conviction to them that are cold or lukewarm. And I want you to know, amen, telling me about the seven thunders and ain't going to do it. Tell me about what's going on over yonder in La La Land, ain't going to do it. Tell me about somebody's theory about what this is and what that is. It ain't going to do it. Tell me about who you think the Antichrist is. It ain't going to do it. Tell me what you think the mark of the beast is. It ain't going to move me one tad. Can you say amen? But give me a message that will convict me of sin. Give me a message, amen, that will wake my soul up. Give me a message that will stir me to do something for God. That's what I need to hear. That's what the people need to hear is a message. Like John the Baptist preached, a message like Jesus preached, a message like Paul preached, a message like Peter preached. We need a message that will convict people of sin and turn them from their ungodliness and turn them from sin. Wake them up. Let them know you're going to go to hell if you don't get right with Jesus. You don't hear hellfire and brimstone messages anymore. That's exactly right. They want to hear a smooth message. They want to hear something about money, something about prosperity, something about, amen, something going to make me feel good. Give me something, amen, about a feel-good message, amen, that's going to make me feel good, amen, after I come back from church, amen. Well, I'm telling you the truth. What make me feel good is not how much money God's going to give me or how many cars God's going to give me or how many houses God's going to give me. What would make me feel good is somebody coming along with a message that will convict his heart to draw closer to God than I am now. now. I don't know about you, but I want to get closer to the Lord. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. I want to die that he might live. I said, I want to die, my God, that Jesus might be made manifest in my mortal flesh. I want people to see the Lord in me, operating in me, ministering in me, reaching out to a lost and dying world. That's the kind of message that would turn me on. Five times he warned us, you ain't gonna know when I'm coming back. I ain't gonna let you know. I'm not even gonna give you a clue. But I will say this, when you see these things, when you see them beginning to come to pass, oh, just let me, just lift up your head. Why am I going to lift up my head for? For my redemption is drawing nigh. I tell you, Brother Carter, there's not too many of us left that believes in the actual literal coming of the Son of God himself back to this earth. Amen. The same Jesus that died on the cross, the same Jesus was nailed to the cross. Amen. That same Jesus with the nail scars in his hands. Amen. And in his feet and in his side. I'm telling you, that same Jesus. Amen. The apostle said, the angels told him, this same Jesus. Somebody say same Jesus. This same Jesus whom you see going away shall return in like manner as you see him going away. He's coming back. I said, Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God, is coming back to this earth for a church, not a backslid church, not a cold church, not a lukewarm church, but a church without a spot, a wrinkle, a blemish, or any such thing. A church on fire for God. Something's got to be done. There's got to be some things turned around. I'll tell you what, God's going to have a church if he has to get rid of every one of us and raise him up a whole new people. Amen. He'll do it. Amen. I don't want to talk about you, but I don't know rocks crying out for me. Amen. Oh, you ought to just say that. I ain't going to have no rocks crying out for me. I'm going to do my own crying out. I'm going to do my own hosannas to the Lord. I'm going to do my own praises to the Lord. I'm going to do my own. I'm going to have a relationship with the Lord beyond what I've got today. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for Jesus. I said I'm hungry for the Lord. I want a hunger in my heart to continue. Souls swept into the kingdom. My God, what could be a greater move of God? That's why I encourage those that's in this church. Get me some sinners in here. Get some folks in here that need God. Get some backsliders in here. Get some cold, lukewarm folk in here. Amen. And people that don't know the Lord. People that's in confusion. People that thinks they're all right and ain't worth a flip. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, when you get under the anointing and you get under the word of God, you might think you're all right. But I'll tell you one thing, if you ain't, amen, it'll convict you of your heart. It'll convict you in your sin. It'll convict you of your hatred and malice, amen, and prejudice and every other dark thing that's in your heart. Under that anointing of the word, it'll bring some conviction. And that's what the church needs. That's really what people need. I was telling Brother Harris not too long ago. Matter of fact, yesterday, I believe, we were talking about a little bit about things, how there's hardly no conviction no more. And I believe a lot of it is it's our fault. We're trying to get people to be convicted over our knowledge, over something, you know. I said, years ago, about 73 or so, I didn't go to this meeting, but Brother David Terrell was in a meeting in Alabama. And in that meeting, there was such a strong anointing and conviction. My brother was there. He said, man, you're talking about a word. He said, man, that word fell on him. And he said, man, that word began to come to pass. And he began to prophesy that people weren't even worthy to walk till they all they needed to crawl. And my brother told me, he said, Brother Philip, he said, people started crawling to the altars. He said, they were crawling over one another. I said, where was you at? He said, man, I was right there with them. He said, I was right there with them. I was crawling with them. See, that's what we need to return. Something that convicts us of sin, wrongdoing. And I'm not talking, see, a lot of us, amen, we eat up with sin. I'm not talking about moral sin. To him that knoweth to do good, and to him that doeth it not, to him it is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Whatsoever is out of faith, it is sin. Oh my God, there's all kinds of things we can sin. If you got malice in your heart, hatred in your heart, and you ain't never killed nobody, you're still a sinner. You're going to go to hell with that hatred in your heart. That's why you need Jesus. Come on. And God knows there's enough folks to give us enough hatred for them around. Right, Sister Deanna? I mean, the world's eat up with people that'll make you mad. But I'll tell you what, you got Jesus. You can get over that mad spell just like that. And Jesus can replace that mad spell and that mad spirit with a spirit of compassion. I've told people that where I go, I said, look, I'm going to tell you something. If you can't get along with somebody, leave them alone. Stay away from them. My Lord, it'd be better to stay away from somebody if you can't get along with them. I ain't going to let nobody take me to hell. I'm going to tell you something. I done went too long. I went too far. I'm too old. I've been in this thing too long. Can you say amen? Too long to lose out with God today. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be, amen, straightforward. I'm going to be forgiving. Praise God. There's only one thing. Oh, Brother Hayes has got to, he done figured out what he's going to do. He's going to make heaven his home, and he ain't going to let nobody take him to hell. He is going to make heaven his home, and that's what you got to make up your mind you're going to do. Don't let nobody take you to hell. And I'm telling you tonight, nobody wants to go to hell by themselves. They want to take somebody with you. Come on. Well, that's my friend. Your friend will take you to hell in a handbasket. He'll take you to hell so fast it'll make your head swim. Your buddy, your wife, your husband, your friend, your whatever. If they ain't saved, you ain't got no business being around them. Light hath no fellowship with darkness. Come on! Light hath no fellowship with darkness. My God, somebody needs to get saved. Somebody needs to get saved. When you're saved, all you want to talk about is Jesus. All you want to talk about is the love of God. All you want to talk about is what God's doing. And when you're around a crowd, amen, it ain't saved, all they do is talking about, they're talking about the world. They're talking about football. They're talking about basketball. They're talking about baseball. They're talking about what's going on down yonder somewhere. They're all, the whole conversation, it's in darkness. It's in the world. Amen. And light cannot have fellowship with darkness, because I don't care what they're doing. I don't give a flip who wins the ball game. I don't even know who won the Super Bowl, and don't even care. Can you say amen? I don't know nothing going on in the world. I want to know Jesus. Hallelujah. That's all I want to know. And when you really get saved, you can't stand it. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. When you really get saved, they can't stand to be around you. It's the truth. Folks that ain't saved can't hardly stand to be around somebody saved. Why? Because all they do is talk about Jesus. But when God began to deal with your hearts, come on. I'm going to tell you something. For years, before I got saved, I've said it 100 times. I'll say it again. Before I got saved, I could not sit in my living room and watch Billy Graham on the TV and smoke a cigarette. I just couldn't do it. I could not do it. And something about that man, them eyes, the way he'd look, you know. And he'd be talking about the judgment of God and all this kind of stuff. And man, I couldn't even smoke a cigarette. Watch Billy Graham on the TV. This was just a little while before I really got saved. See, God began to deal with me. That's why I couldn't smoke that cigarette. Watch Billy Graham. He was dealing with me, see. Come on. When God begins to deal with you, you're caught between two worlds. You're caught between light and darkness. You're caught between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of his dear son. And you're kind of in a void. You're kind of in a bass. You're kind of in a situation there. It's almost like you got one foot almost in the kingdom and the other one almost all the way into the kingdom of darkness. The devil still got a hold on you, but God's pulling at you. Hallelujah. And he begins to change you a little bit. And something happens to you. All of a sudden, you kind of want to be around Christian folk. Kind of want to hear that old time religion song. You kind of like being around, you know, folks that lift their hands and worship the Lord. But at the same time, the devil's got a pull on you, and you still kind of be around. Well, I wonder who's going to be in the Super Bowl. I wonder what's going to happen over yonder. I wonder what's going to happen to Michael Jackson's all his money. And you know, who gives a flip? Come on. See, you've been pulled. You're in a tug of war. How many knows who's going to win? I'm telling you, Jesus is going to win. Because I believe if the Lord is really tugging at someone's heart, they're going to wind up in the right place at the right time. Come on. They're going to wind up in the right place at the right time where the power of God is to deliver, where the power of God, the word of God is there to change a life, change a soul. And I'm telling you, when that word comes and that anointing is there, my God, the devil can't hold on to you. That's why I say get you lost kinfolks in this house. Amen. Get your lost folks in this place. Amen. Knock on some doors. Get to your neighbor. Amen. Say something's going on down yonder. Something's happening down here. You need to be over there. Amen. Because something's going on. Let them know something. I guarantee you something will happen when they get here. I mean, something always happens when Jesus is in the house. Tell them something's going to happen. Tell them somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get delivered. Compel them to come in the house. Entice them to come in the house. Whatever you got to do, if it's lawful and it's not immoral, do it. Get them into the house of God. Let the word and let the anointing take hold. Then God will change their lives. How many believes that? Amen. If there ever was a theme for a camp meeting, it ought to be, are you ready to meet God? When this camp meeting closes, every person should know in their heart that they are ready to meet God. I'm going to ask the Lord to reveal anything in anybody's heart that would hinder them from the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask the Lord to deliver, not tell me, tell them. To reveal unto every person what would cause them to miss heaven and wind up in the devil's hell. How many believes hell's real? I really hate it that some people don't believe hell's real. The scripture is this, and I'm going to close with this scripture. Revelation 20. Start with verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. In the Old Testament it said hell was created for the devil and his angels. Another place though it said hell hath enlarged itself. There's only so many devils and his angels. There's only one Satan, one devil. And I believe there's just a certain amount of angels. If it's got to enlarge itself, it's got to be for somebody else, right? And not somebody else, it's people. But God never created hell for people. And God will not send any human being to hell. If you go to hell, it's because you want to. That's a fact. Because Jesus is our way to escape hell. In the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented. Somebody say tormented. Day and night forever and ever. You know when Jesus talked about hell, about the rich man. Y'all remember that in Lazarus. He said he was in torment. And that word for hell that he used there was Gehenna. I got a tape back on Gehenna. And Gehenna was a dump outside of Jerusalem. And that dump out there, Jesus, they burned the dead. They burned all the stuff out there. And it was just a blaze burning all the time, just brimstone out there burning all the time. And that's why he used Gehenna, where the people could understand he's talking about something that's burning. Something that's real. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Brother David, I remember Billy Graham when I took TV back in. And he's talking about, he said, the books is going to be opened. Everything that you ever did in your life, all standing there is going to see all of your sins. He said, it's going to be like a huge TV screen. And every evil thing that you've ever done is going to appear there. All your adultery and fornication and your murder and what's in your heart is going to appear there. And everybody would see it. And I say, oh God, I got to get a hell to smoke me another cigarette. Am I telling you? That's what he said. Is that right? And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, somebody say whosoever, was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name there? Is my name there? Can we be sure, Brother Carter? Can I be sure that my name is written in that book? Because if my name is not in that book, I'm going to wind up in the lake of fire. If your name is not in that book, you're going to hell. Can I be sure? Can you be sure that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life that was slain before the foundation of the world? We can know. How can we know? We can repent of our sins. We can tell God that we're sorry for our sins, our ungodliness. See, there's people that, Brother Carton, you know, and Brother Ayers, Brother David, Brother Myers. We've seen people over the years, talk to some of the older ones, for preachers. Brother Carter may be in hell tonight. They may be in hell today because they give up, or they never made their calling or election sure. They never were sure. One of the greatest preachers of the healing revivalist era, his name was Jack Cole. One of the greatest preachers of that era made this statement. One thing that bothers me is my doubt that I'll make heaven. He wasn't sure. I want to tell you something, folks. You need to be sure. We need to be sure today. We need to be sure this morning. We don't need to wait till tomorrow. We need to make sure. And the only way to make sure is confess your faults, not to a preacher, but to God. And say, Lord Jesus, come in my life. Take my life over. Be the Lord of my life. I submit to you. I humbly submit to you, Lord. I give you my life. I give you my wealth. I give you my mind. I give you my soul. I give you my body. I give you everything. And let the Lord Jesus save your soul. And you can be sure that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Would you close your eyes for me? Brother David, why don't you come up here to the guitar? Hallelujah. Father, I pray, Lord. Lord, this has been the never open account meeting this way. Lord, I pray here today, Lord, that this is the right message. I pray that this word is the word that we will hear. Coming from different ministers, singers. Lord, that would convict us of our sins. That would turn us, Lord. Lord, if we've been going in the wrong direction in our ministry, in our life, in our emphasis. Doctrine is important, Lord. I don't want anyone to think that I don't believe doctrine is important. But Lord, there's so many today that's lost. Even sitting in churches, Lord, that's backslid on you, cold, indifferent. I ask you, Lord, to let there be a special anointing be in this camp meeting, Lord. That, Lord, when it is over, not a person would leave that's not sure. That's not sure that their name is written in your great book of life. You've honored us, Lord, with your presence. I have felt your anointing in this place. I have been moved by the words that I have spoken. I believe they've come from you. Take these words, Lord. Hide it in our hearts. And now, Holy Father, I ask you, Lord, for your Spirit to begin, Lord, searching this audience. To search every heart to see if there be any wicked thing in us, Lord. Lord, if there be anything that's not right within us, Lord. Lord, if there be any malice, envy, strife, jealousy, hatred. Lord, if there be anything in our hearts that would prevent us from heaven, reveal it, Lord. Convict, Lord, that one that's nearest hell this morning. Convict us, Lord, of our wrongdoing and our sins. Have mercy upon us this morning, Lord. Now, praise you, Lord. If you want me to pray with you, I want you to come forward quickly. I'm not going to ask you to crawl as the Spirit of God asked long ago. I just ask you to come. If you want to make sure, the Bible says in one place to make your calling and election sure. If you want to be sure, sure, that if the death angel visited you tonight, or even this day, that you'd be ready. I can remember back when the Lord gave me messages like this. Some that come forward didn't live 3 months and they were dead. Sister Glenda's sister Bonnie was one of them. 3 months later, she was dead. She didn't know that that cancer was in her body. But she wanted to make it right with God. Make it right with God. Don't lose out. Don't lose out. Don't lose out. Don't lose out. You can be sure. I said, you can be sure. Father, I ask you to help Brother Colton. This warfare is in his mind. Lord, I know how the enemy attacks him. But Lord, I believe that you can put a sure word within his heart and his soul. Lord, that when the enemy comes against him like a flood, that he can just speak the word. Touch him this morning, Lord. Lord, I send the word of God to his wife, Lord. And believe in God, you're going to make a change in her. And you're going to bind them together in your love, Lord. Put a sureness in his life and his mind. God, let him have a special anointing to witness to the lost, Lord. That's what we need. We need soldiers on the streets, soldiers on the highways. Raise him up, Lord. Raise him up, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, you see all that she's born against, all that she's not understood. Lord, I just ask you to help her to be focused. Focus on what you have done for her and what she can do for others through you. Give her peace this morning, Lord. Give her that peace like a river. God, that know ye in her heart that she's saved this day. Lord, give her some boldness and some love. God, for her children, her grandchildren. Lord, to preach Jesus to them. Help her, Lord. Strengthen her, Lord. God, I pray that all that she's been going through with, that soon, very soon, she'll be able to look back on it all and see how the hand of God delivered her. Just because she trusted you, Lord. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' name. God bless you, sister. Lord, help her today. God, she needs to be sure. She wants to be sure. I bind every evil spirit, Lord, in war against her mind. But tell her that she can't make it. God, I speak a word. In the name of Jesus. That the peace of God would rule her life and her heart. Lord, that when she lays her head upon her pillow, her meditation will be upon you and not on troubles. Put peace in her life, Lord. Put that know ye in her heart that her name is written in that great book of life. In the name of Jesus. Let it be so. Let this service begin to be a change, Lord, in her home. God, let her witness the peace, the joy that you're putting there, be a witness for those that's closest to her. That they also would see the change in her life and that it would impact them to serve the Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd honor her, Lord, with the peace that I speak in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God some praise.
Jesus, o'er the world, my child.
Lord, I appreciate the testimony that Dad gave last week. Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, this is a different day, another day. I ask for the peace of God to rule her life. And Lord, that her entire focus and purpose in life would be to make heaven her home. That, Lord, she would not look to the left nor to the right, but she would look only to you, Lord. And that, Lord, souls would be swept into the kingdom because of her witness and the change, God, that you're placing in her life. Jesus, bless her, Lord, with the peace of God. Put a sure word in her, Lord, that she is going to make heaven her home.